Hello and welcome to The Brand Called You. I'm your host, Sandeep Tyagi, and the brand we are talking with today is Shivani Modi. Shivani is the co-founder of Seeker. She's also been very active in Delhi Crafts Council and Kamla the Crafts Store. She was educated at the Hindu College and the Modern School in Delhi. Welcome to our podcast, Shivani.
Thank you so much, Sandeep. I'm delighted to be here.
So the first question, let's start by talking about your professional journey. What is Seeker and what is it trying to achieve?
So Seeker is a research and technology platform, and it's been set up to spread mind literacy across the world. So really, there was a time where we all know this, at least those in India, that India contributed to over 25% of the global GDP. And we were home to advanced centers of learning such as Taxila and Nalanda, much before the advent of universities in Europe. And what we understand is that at the core of this culture was a culture of excellence. And that culture of excellence was based on a culture of a system of education, which didn't just teach about subjects. The first and primary education was about the mind and attention. And that's really at the core of what we were. And as time went by, we lost this aspect of it through political turbulence, invasions. So there was a breakdown. Finally, we were left with lots of knowledge of subject and mental and attention illiteracy.
So getting to excellence through better education and understanding of how our mind works. Now, that's quite different from obviously what the science and technology revolution has focused on, which is how the nature works and how to control it. So Seeker is trying to focus inwardly and helping people do a better job of managing their mind. But you've done it through an app, which is a technology. Tell me more about what does the technology do to help you control your mind?
So when we say that we're just trying to look inwards, it's really more about everything that we're doing vis-a-vis what science has done, what humans have done, is about outward excellence and advancement. And we are talking about, let's sharpen the tool first. So everything that you learn using your mind and your attention. But no one teaches us how to use our mind and attention. So how does it work? What it does is that we all know that we have a finite amount of energy and attention, right? And this energy and attention is actually used in three ways. Physiology uses it, emotions use it, and cognitions use it. So breath rate, heart rate, just having our body work is our physiology. And we're angry, we're happy, we're sad, we're purposeful. All of that is our emotions. And then there is learning, absorbing, planning, you know, that's all about our cognition. So what we understand, what our scriptures actually understood, is that you are, when your emotions are higher, you are sad, your pH balance changes. You are angry, your breath rate quickens. You are anxious, there's your pulse quickens. So for all of this, now the body has to work to bring balance back. Basically, you're using up more of that energy and attention.
So the mix of energy between physiology, emotion, and cognition, is there a right balance? What is that right balance? And if one is consuming more, does it mean there is less for other areas?
Absolutely. Absolutely. And this is what our test does. It's helping you map your cognitive attention. So we call it the cognitive attention score, your CAS score. And what it's also, when let's say your pulse rate shifts, your heart rate is different, it will impact your sleep pattern. It will impact your circadian rhythm. And what is absolutely astounding is that 5,000 years ago, our texts, our rishis understood that. They understood the direct impact of the emotion on the body. And it also could correlate it to how that is impacting various aspects of your life. And what we've done is we've tried to create a tool out of it to be able to help you have a guide, which helps you see where am I standing? Because if I want to, each of us, our ultimate aim is that we want to grow, we want to move forward. We believe we are doing everything in our capacity to move forward. But what's happening subconsciously? Is it genuinely, is all of me aligned to get there? Or is there an emotional storm that I'm not aware of? Is my body taking up more energy that I don't even realize?
Yeah. So I've taken the test a few times, and it's amazing. It seems to be able to pick up when there is more stress in my life versus not. So is it done through a questionnaire? And this questionnaire is then able to somehow pick out how much of your energy is for cognitive attention? Is that what's going on? So this, say some more about the cognitive attention score and how do you arrive at it specifically?
Okay, I'm going to loop back a little bit. What we did was we researched 19 different texts, and we saw that the texts had precise calibration of how they mapped human minds. We like to call it human minds. So when we researched this, we realized that each one had a different, I wanted to ask that question again, because somewhere I'm losing my thought with it.
Yeah, no, I'm, let's rephrase. So yeah. I'm saying I'll rephrase the question. I have taken the test a few times, yeah, and I'm amazed that it is able to pick up very accurately when I'm going through some personal stress or other things. How do you do that? How do you do that from asking a few questions? What is the methodology behind it?
So what we did was we actually researched 19 ancient texts, the Upanishads, the Bhagavad Gita, the Kundalini Shastra. What we understood was not just each text had different ways of mapping minds and attention. And they had some causes and effects and impact of dispositions. Then what we did was we tried to find linkages between these various systems. And we came up with what we call the causal mind model. We call it the mother framework. So the mother framework basically understands that there's causality in the world. Nothing that happens is random. There's a very cause and effect relationship. This can be looped back to your circadian rhythm. Your circadian rhythm is directly connected with your food and sleep cycles. What the test is doing is it's trying to understand through a very simple questionnaire, which is asking you about your food, sleep, and exercise. It's trying to understand how, what pattern you're operating out of and how that's impacting your circadian rhythm. So sort of what rhythm you're working out of. We've mapped it into 351 mindsets. Because what we also saw that there were 19 key emotional triggers or imbalances, disturbances, which can create this 351 mindsets. And then that's where the cause and effect happens, right? So it's like, oh, Sandeep, you think that your challenges are unique to you, but this particular mindset that you're operating out of is also creating your challenges and making you experience everything else that you're going through. So from that, the next thing happens is then it's so much easier to figure out how to bring balance back.
And we'll talk a little bit about the balance part, meaning, so 351 different personality states, that's a lot.
Yeah.
And within those, are there some which are, I presume there are some which are better than others. So is there a way that people can move from a state that's not as good to the other one? What kind of things would you recommend for people to address and become better in terms of the state they are in to the state they want to be in?
So the very first aspect is measurement. Before you want to figure out where you want to go, you need to figure out where you're standing. So once the tool has measured where you're standing, it has also been able to measure where the imbalance is coming from. And what is impacting, say for example, we've seen this very, very often that somebody's effectiveness, their ability to get things done in a certain way, gets heavily impacted because of sedentary lifestyle. So they might be struggling with getting things done. But the tool will say, you need to walk 30 minutes. And you're like, hello, excuse me. Like, how does that even work?
Right.
But it does, because again, here, when we speak about mind and attention, we're not talking about the mind that sits in our head here. Say that every cell of the human body has intelligence. So we're talking about cellular intelligence. We're talking about a mind that resides in every cell of my body. So if I have to move forward, if all of me has to move forward. And that too sustainably.
Fascinating. How did the idea for something like this even come about? You were kind of happily doing your thing in handicrafts and life and family. Where did this idea come from?
I wish I could say that, we came up with this stellar idea, but nothing of the sort happened. It happened quite organically. I was, my daughters were growing up. I was looking for to do something. I also knew that I wanted to work in the space of human well-being and consciousness. And so I was on a quest to find something. My two co-founders were also seekers, asking fundamental questions, trying to figure out. So I think the three of us came together trying to ask some basic questions and find some fundamental truths. And through that, this whole journey began. And one thing led to another, then the research happened. And as that happened, then we started to see, oh my God, this is so fascinating. And it also helps me sort of you know, you're like committing to a life of seeking.
So you like asking the big questions, and this is a way to keep asking them and actually creating something.
And helping people,
Yeah.
you know,
Wonderful. Wonderful.
create something that's useful, meaningful, helpful.
So before we move to, I want to ask you so many things about you as a person as well, but where can people find it? You want to spell? Is there a website? How do people find about this thing?
So you can take the test. It's called seeker.com. You
And
can
seeker
download the
is
app.
spelled
Seeker is
C.
spelled C double E K R. So it's a unusual spelling, but that's what it is. Seeker, the Seeker was some thousands and hundreds of thousands of dollars or something by the time.
Very smart. It's different, and I want people to be able to seek it properly. So good you spelled it out.
That's right.
Let's talk a little bit about Shivani as a person. Where were you born? What was, they say if you want to know a person, know their childhood. So where were you born? What was your childhood like?
I was born in Delhi, as when you introduced me, everything about me has been homegrown in Delhi. And I grew up in a joint family. And I think I can't say that these were very like curated experiences, but there were three defining experiences. One is that we were an Arya Samaj home. So we did Havan every Sunday. And if you've grown up with that, it has an impact. My nanny house was Jain. So I would say that was my spiritual education. And then I had a devout maid who was really the love of my life. So I grew up hearing Puranic tales and around that, you know, deep devotion. So I think that all of them together had a very strong impact. When I look back today, I think that the seeds were sown somewhere there.
So a deeply religious set of experiences through people you were spending a lot of time in your childhood.
Yeah, like I wouldn't call it religious because there was hardly any ritual.
Ah, Arya Samaj is more.
Ah, it was just Havan.
Yes, got it.
And even my maid she was completely literate, but full of stories and stories. So it's almost like a certain fabric was created
Interesting.
through that.
That was extreme. What did you take away from, your father and your, what part of you do you identify comes from your mother?
Good question. So my dad is a very my dad is all about bhakti, and my dad is all about love, and very disciplined human about his puja, about his walks. And one thing about him is that he's like an Annapurna. Anybody who comes in his journey is fed by him, whether it is animal, bird, or human being. So I would like to say that I have a little bit of that. I'd really like to grow it. I'm not a patch to his discipline. I am
But you find that
crawling and
idea
trying to
attractive.
find discipline at all times.
Sure.
My mother, on the other hand, is very spiritually seeking. She's hungry and curious for knowledge, and always asking questions, always has sort of wonder in her eyes when she sees people doing something. So again, I think I have a little bit of that, and hoping to grow it as the years go by.
How did you combine all this? So tell us about your personal practice these days. Do you what do you do to enhance this on a day-to-day basis?
So for all the days that I'm not errant, We'll talk about those.
course, who is not?
I'd like to believe that there's a world out there where they just practice every day without fail. But I'm a follower of Sadhguru's. I do my Isha practices. So those are Shambhavi and Shakti Chal and Kriya. And along with that, there's also the attention balancing practices that I do. So so I do that. And now that life is becoming, I'm starting to understand that I spend more time learning and practicing mind mastery, you know, paying attention to your mind, that I find that there's a shift in the quality of my day. It feels like all of your day is like a practice. You're continually practicing.
Yeah, sometimes it's a great practice just to sit in Delhi traffic and practice.
That's right. If you can sit in Delhi traffic and stay joyful, then you know you're practicing something.
You are an evolved soul. What decision do you think had the most impactful turn in your life?
So I think for me, I had two big such shifts. One was when 2004, I was at a birthday party and a friend said, Shivani, Sadhguru is coming. Will you do the program? I had not heard about him. I had heard like some vague, you know, like it's a name you've heard, but you know absolutely nothing. And again, it was at a time 20 years ago, meditation was not the buzzword. So it was at a time where I'd heard meditation is good for you, but nobody seemed to tell me what was meditation, nor did I know where to find how to do it. So I asked those questions and she's like, yeah, of course, that's what you learn. And I think that it changed my whole axis. I started to understand things differently. I found a path. And it's been hugely nurturing, nourishing. It's helped me grow. And then when I embarked upon Seeker, because now I had committed myself. Like my work, my spiritual practice, my other life, everything I had boxed myself in. And so it's beautiful because you can't teach what we teach without trying to practice it yourself. And it keeps you as a student all your life. And the community that we've been getting in touch with, people we get to know, people we find, it's so beautiful.
In poker, we call it doubling down. So two experiences, both doubling you down into this path.
That's right.
Wonderful. The next section, Shivani, is rapid fire. I'm going to ask you a bunch of questions. There's no right or wrong answer. Whatever first comes, the only thing is you got to blurt it out. No. What is your favorite meal in the world?
Oriental food.
What's your favorite book?
Many Lives, Many Masters.
What activity that you do more or less on a regular basis that is joy in your life?
So, you know, now for a few years, we've been we've had the CAS report, and I regularly do report readings. So mentoring sessions. And it's very joyful to be able to help somebody understand that their life and its circumstances are not coming from the outside. It's what is getting manufactured within their mind. But every once in a while, somebody who's been struggling, who's stuck, who's not able to find an answer. And when I'm a part of their breakthrough, I think it's just such a fulfilling and humbling experience.
If you could meet any historical figure for a dinner, who would you like to meet?
I think Gandhiji or Nelson Mandela. Okay. I, you know, just two get to know people who are not defined by all the strife in their life and who can not hate on people that have done them so much harm. It's a very different kind of human being.
If you find yourself free one afternoon, some big meeting that you were planning for 3 hours just gets cancelled at the last minute, what kind of things do you do?
I stay free only, Sandeep. Do anything. So
if you're free, stay free.
I stay free, and I think I'll just continue to do more of what I do because it doesn't feel like work. It doesn't feel like it's something I'm trying to shed and move away from.
All right. Through understanding of their own mind. Thank you for spending time with us.
Thank you, Sandeep. Thank you so much for this opportunity.
Thank you for listening to The Brand Called You videocast and podcast. A platform that brings you knowledge, experience, and wisdom of hundreds of successful individuals from around the world. Do visit our website, www.tbcy.in, to watch and listen to the stories of many more individuals. You can also follow us on YouTube, Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter. Just search for The Brand Called You.